Tall Tales and True is produced on Yuggera and Turrbal land, and I'd like to pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. It's Tilly here. This episode will have some stuff about abuse, so please look after yourself and consider who else is around if you do choose to listen. Starting out as a sex worker can be both exhilarating and overwhelming. Will you work under your own name, or will you feel more comfortable using an alias? What will your boundaries be, and when, if ever, will you be prepared to cross them? I'm Tilly Lawless. This is Tall Tales and True, and the story I have for you today is about becoming a sex worker, the good times and the not so good, and the stigma that might stay with you long after you leave the industry. Our storyteller adopted the name Betty, and these days she does alternative trauma therapy. She's a trauma survivor, an artist, and a single mum living with chronic illness, and she looks back fondly on her time in the industry. She performed this story for a virtual storytelling event by The Intro Room, which was held to honour the International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers on December 17th. She began by paying her respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation.
You'll have to excuse me, I'm a bunch of nerves, but thank you. When I first started sex work, I was not doing well mentally, drinking too much and very close to losing my full-time retail job, which I did in fact lose. I'll never forget the day that my best friend came home with a wad of cash, laughing maniacally as she sold me the fun, easy truths of sex work while leaving out all the gritty details. I was fresh from being dumped by another avoidant male, as was my flavour at the time, and didn't care about much. I figured, what the heck, let's give this full-service sex work thing a crack. My ho name ended up being a recycled MySpace name from the emo MySpace era of the mid-2000s. The name Betty had never really suited me. But when I was 18, I started an apprenticeship at Tony and Guy, and the area manager said, "We've already got a Jess working here, so can you pick another name?" Startled by this request, my MySpace name, Betty, slipped out, as it was all I could really think of, and I figured it was just as good to use now as it was then, despite it not really suiting my personality. On my first night, I was introduced to the strange and invasive rules of the agency. The cash from my first booking was kept as a bond in case I wasn't able to give the 2 weeks' notice before leaving the establishment, which is such an easy way to get cash from working girls, if you ask me, as you often need to leave this type of work at a moment's notice for a variety of reasons. I remember after a long party booking and well past the end of my shift, deciding that I wanted to spend more time with a client off the books, and the agency absolutely hounding me until I told them where I was so they could come pick me up and scold me like a little schoolgirl. "In your description, we'll be telling them you're new to the industry. Men love newbies." Little did I know that was code for being easily persuaded into crossing boundaries you didn't know you had. Next thing you know, you're licking the underarm of an 80-year-old man for free. How did I find myself in a position where I was licking a sweaty underarm for free, you might ask? Well, it was only as I was writing this story that I realised that my lack of sexual boundaries growing up transferred into my whole life. There was the main manager who was cold and pushy, and then there was the secondary manager who presented as warm and kind, kind of like the loving auntie you never had, yet would be low-key pressuring you into things you didn't want to do. And when push came to shove, she did not give a shit. The stoic older male driver who barely said a word. What my friend didn't tell me was that I'd spend so many nights in the booking agency without a booking. But one of the things I loved the most about being a working girl was spending hours with my best friend. We were offered as a double, and we were a force to be reckoned with when we were sent off together. Because we knew each other so well, we bounced off each other and would naturally create a fun and sexy environment. We would always end up accidentally using our real names on our double bookings. It would just slip out. Or we'd sit around for hours waiting for a booking, getting a bit too tipsy, and then deciding to run away from the agency to go clubbing at the now defunct Q Bar. And on the nights where there were bookings, there was nothing like walking home just before sunset in your $10 Kmart purse, bursting with money, feeling a mixture of content, burnout, and proud. I remember cutting open my foot on the rundown agency flat shower drain and still having to wear heels that night with not an ounce of first aid offered. Some of my highlights include being paid and the client having to leave within 5 minutes for an emergency, watching The Simpsons with a lovely man with paraplegia, and being paid to party with my best friend. Although my private life back then was always a mess, I was always the one with sage advice for my loved ones or for the random girl in the bathroom, so it's no wonder that this transferred into my whole life. The majority of my extended bookings were with men who really just needed a non-judgmental counsellor, although there's a level of comfort and intimacy that you have with an empathic co that I doubt you could reach with the professional psych. And even for the clients who didn't delve into the details about their life, I felt like for a lot of them, there was a certain level of healing that took place, their fingers tracing the grooves of my skin, a look of peace and relief on their face that they probably only felt directly after coming. What always stuck out to me was the stark contrast in treatment from men outside of work and those within. From my teens through my 20s, I was largely unaware that I was regularly being mistreated or assaulted by the men in my life, either by a random man I met at a party or bars or the abusive boyfriends I had growing up. That's one thing a lot of people don't understand about childhood trauma. Being abused becomes the norm as a kid, and so when history repeats itself in adulthood, it feels normal, and often there's an unconscious belief formed in childhood that we are somehow deserving of this treatment. So entering the escort world and having men be nice to me, fawn over me, or treat me with respect for the most part was a bit of a shock at first. Whenever I would try and talk to my boyfriends about my time as an escort, I would tell them how much nicer the majority of my clients were to me than random men I had met on nights out. But that didn't matter. They were always disgusted, uncomfortable, unable to listen to me talk about a significant part of my life. Even now, it bugs me that my last serious partner from over 5 years ago embraces his new partner's pole dancing hobby, even making art about her pole dancing and her pleasers, and yet he would silence me when I'd share any details about sex work because it made him uncomfortable. I've spent a lot of time contemplating cancelling my story tonight, worrying it wasn't good enough, and it dawned on me that I still struggle to share my stories because I'd been shut down by my exes so many times before.
That was Betty, or rather, formerly Betty, sharing her story with The Intro Room, which was an online sex worker storytelling night organised during the pandemic by Debbie Doesn't Do It For Free. Check out our show notes for a link to more stories from The Intro Room. If Betty's story had some triggers for you, remember Lifeline is available for 24/7 crisis counselling. The number is 13 11 14. I'm Tilly Lawless, and our next episode is definitely not safe for work. But hey, doesn't that make you want to listen even more?
Halfway through the booking, I get a call from my work best friend, Emily. She tells me a subpar C-list celebrity athlete is in our club and I need to get back ASAP. I've never actually had any kind of celebrity come in, not even an AFL or an NRL player. So my dumb ass was so excited to see what was happening.
You can listen to Tall Tales and True anytime on the ABC Listen app.
Hi, it's Yumi Steins here, host of the smash hit ABC podcast, Ladies, We Need to Talk. Now, Ladies is a show all about smashing stigma and taboos around things like sex, health, and relationships. We really get into the nuts and bolts of stuff that's actually hard to talk about in real life.
It would appear that female ejaculation is a very real thing that happens to me.
When you do have your disability on your Tinder profile, it is like a great kind of filter.
Well, this season, we've got a treat for you because we are taking a long, hard look at sex. That's right. We're turning down the lights, hopping into bed, opening a packet of chips and switching on the TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just joking. It's on. It's hot. It's hilarious. And there's so much I can't wait to share with you. We're going to meet ladies who have gone from ho-hum, whatever sex, to having mind-blowing, earth-shattering, all-consuming orgasms.
They're so deep and they go for so long. So I feel it in a clitoral level, and then I feel it like more inside my stomach, and then it kind of emanates out from there all through my whole body.
We'll meet women on the asexuality spectrum.
People don't understand asexuals. They're like, I just don't get how you couldn't want to have sex. And I'm like, that's funny, because I don't understand how you can have sex.
And delve into the fascinating world of swingers.
When you have sex with someone for so long, you're so used to the way that they have sex, and you can almost count what's happening next. But I realised that when he was having sex with other women, the sex was quite different.
Giddy up. It's going to be a wild ride, and you're going to want to tell your friends about it. Come hang with me on the new sexy season of Ladies, We Need to Talk. Find us on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.